In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Our Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius Loyola,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So we start the seventh week of our spiritual exercises program. Always we have to call to mind the purpose of our existence. And this is principle and foundation. That we're here to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that to save our soul. Baltimore Catechism put it this way. We're here to know God, love God, serve God in this life, so as to be happy with him forever in heaven. Biblical phrase that Ignatius used to convert Francis Xavier was, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul in the process? So we know why we're here. We know where we're heading. We know how to get there. We know the tools that we have to use. Now we encountered the major obstacle to attaining the salvation of our soul is sin. We meditated upon the triple sin of the angels, Adam and Eve. One man that was lost because of one mortal sin. We meditated upon the consequences of sin, seeing the sin of David and the repercussions of that sin on his life, but that also of his children. Then we meditated upon our life should be lived with a lot of peace, a lot of joy, but we should be very serious about our life. Certain Benedictine soberness, because death, judgment, heaven and hell is very serious. Either we're saved or we're lost, and it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. This is called eternity. So from there we went from meditating upon sin in divine revelation, biblical sources, to sin within us. And as a result of original sin, we have what are called the capital sins. These bad tendencies. We can divide them into two categories. Those that refer more to our corporal nature, and then those that refer more to our intellectual nature. They are gluttony, lust, greed or avarice, laziness or sloth, then anger, envy, pride. Those capital sins are part of our human nature as a result of the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve. From there we moved into the week of God's mercy, in which we prepared ourselves to make what is called a general confession, the best confession of our lives. In this you prepared yourself by examining your conscience, going through the Ten Commandments, writing down those sins, Then, going to the priest, making your sacramental confession, and hearing those wonderful words. And I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. What wonderful words that you heard. All of your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. All of your sins are forgiven. Go in peace and start a new life, like living out the parable of the prodigal son. Then the sixth week was the week of the call of the king, as well as the joyful mysteries. The grace that you're begging for was not to be deaf to the call of the king. After you have experienced his mercy, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. And you've purified your mind, your conscience, your soul of sin. Now you're spiritually attuned, your ears, to hear the King calling you. You are the parable of the temporal king, inviting generous soldiers to follow him to conquer the world, and he was going to share his victory with those generous souls. And that was, we might say, a trampoline by which we could launch ourselves into the call of the eternal king. And that's Jesus Christ. What is the eternal king interested in? One thing: the salvation of souls. St. Thomas Aquinas says, one soul is worth more than the whole created universe. Jesus was inviting you to enter into this most noble enterprise, to work side by side with the eternal king in saving souls. But this is the dynamic. First come, then go. First come. Come to me, all of you are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm meek and humble of heart. You assign rest for your souls, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we have to come to him and cultivate a deep prayer life, a deep contemplative life, a life of permanent formation, of study. Because you can't give what you don't have. But if you love God, you love Christ, you should love what he loves. What he loves most is the salvation of souls. The whole dynamic of these exercises, my friends, is if you have received forgiveness from God, then you're ready to work with Christ to save souls. That's the whole logic and dynamic of these exercises. You should be willing to get in that ship and drop those nets and pull up the 153 whoppers, huh? Not minnows, but whoppers, huh? That should be your desire. Not mere wishful thinking, pie-in-the-sky theology, but get down to brass tacks. How can you do it? How can you do it with your family? How can you do it with your relatives? How can you do it at work? How can you do it with your friends? How can you do it in your parish? Do not ask what your parish can do for you. Ask what you can do for your parish. No? Ever hear that one? Do not ask what your parish can do for you. Ask what you can do for your parish. We're in a very critical time. I'll give you one example in how the call of the King is really touching me. Living in LA, there are many Hispanics. Many. Some of you are Hispanics. What I do is I go from one parish to the next. And I'm consecrating these people to the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's the call of the King for Father Broome. I believe, consecrate the people to Mary and get them to do the spiritual exercises. We got a winner. Amen?
Amen.
Right now, I'm working one parish, downtown LA, and I've got 500 people with me. Another one, Bellflower, 300. So I'm working with close to 1,000 people. It's a lot of souls. 800 people, it's a lot of souls, and that means 800 families. For me, the call of the King is one of the most important meditations in Ignatian spirituality. Just thinking about the call of the King, I get enthusiastic. Jesus said, I've come to cast fire on the earth and not in peace, until that fire be enkindled. So all of you, hopefully you have so much fire burning within your hearts, so we have to call the firemen. Put it out. So even though we're moving from the sixth week, from the call of the King, to what are called this week the Ignatian Classics, you should still have that fire burning within you. If that fire is smoldering or extinguished or close to that, it's a bad sign. It's probably because you're not doing your holy hour well, or you're falling asleep during your holy hour. Because the Holy Spirit should be burning within you to work with Christ to save souls. Three other elements to really live out the call of the King. Do it with Mary the Queen. Amen?
Amen.
Do it with Mary the Queen. Place all of your souls, your apostolic initiatives on the altar, and go to daily Mass when you can. And third, St. Maximian Kolbe, feast day we celebrate August 14th. In the Liturgy of the Hours, it's just a Liturgy of the Hours reading, which is, he's on fire for the love of souls for the Immaculata. Kolbe says that there are three stages in the spiritual life. Prayer, work, and suffering. You hear that?
Yes.
We got to pray. We got to work. We have to suffer for Christ. And Jesus saved us by suffering on the cross. So that's a recap of the first 6 weeks of the exercises. The seventh week is a week that has a lot of different meditations. So in these two conferences, we'll try to get through as much as we can. We call this week the week of the Ignatian Classics. And they are the two standards. The three classes of men, the three grades of humility. In addition to this, we're going to invite all of you to write out a plan of life, the purpose of which is to order the disordered. Spiritual exercises, annotation number one, Ignatius says, one of the key elements of the spiritual exercises is to order the disordered that we have in our lives. As a result of original sin, we have disorder. As a result of personal sin, we have disorder. So the exercises calls us to order the disorder that we have in our lives. Moral disorder, spiritual disorder, social disorder, emotional disorder, we've got all of that within our lives. But the more we get close to God and the Holy Spirit, the more the Holy Spirit orders that disorder. So let's spend time on what is called the two standards. Spanish is called las dos banderas. Translation, las dos banderas means actually the two flags. And they are the standard of Satan and the standard of Jesus Christ. The grace you're going to be begging for, the grace to be aware of the way in which the enemy, which is Satan, attacks us, as well as the way in which Jesus Christ, our eternal King, once again, wants to captivate us, to attract us, and to have us under his standard. So let's start with the standard of the enemy. Ignatius calls Satan the enemy, calls him the enemy of our human nature. The Bible calls the devil Satan, Lucifer, the ancient serpent, Beelzebul, which means the Lord of the flies. John 8, Jesus calls the devil a liar and murderer from the beginning. The Bible also calls the devil the seducer. Thomas Aquinas calls the devil the tempter. St. Augustine calls the devil an angry dog on a chain. These are names for the devil. Ignatius presents Satan in Babylon. Babylon means the city of confusion. He's seated on a dunghill. He's very ugly. Maybe imagine a monster movie you saw as a child. It's going to be much worse than that. He's surrounded by other devils. And he's giving to the devils a discourse. And they're listening to him. And he wants to drop nets and throw out chains to a slave, to enslave. Through riches, vanity, and pride, and all the other vices. Those are the three nets that the devil is dropping. Riches, we call it today materialism. Vanity, we call that self-love. Pride, call that self-autonomy. We want to do it by ourselves without God working in our lives. And all the other vices. So he's sending them out to the world, to continents, countries, cities, towns, villages, homes, to the individual rooms in the homes. We all have a guardian angel, but we all have a devil that goes after us. Do you know your devil? We want to try to locate what is the devil that goes after us. So let's talk about the way that the devil works in our lives. Now in this part of the exercise, I'd like to try to connect the two standards with the last three rules for discernment. But before getting into these specifically, I'm going to tell you ways in which the devil will try to get into our lives. So this is a universal Ignatian principle which can be applied to everyone. First is this. When you are in a state of desolation, that's when the devil attacks. That is universal. Now you remember what desolation is. You go back to the fourth rule. Desolation, you feel there's a lack of faith, lack of hope, lack of charity. You feel sad, you feel depressed, you feel discouraged, feel life doesn't have much meaning. People don't understand you. No one really seems to care about you. When you're in that state, and we're all in that state sometimes, then that's when the devil attacks. He's going to be looking for your kryptonite. So desolation, you can be experiencing desolation a whole day. Or maybe 1 hour you're in consolation, the next hour you're in desolation, then you got 2 hours of consolation, then you got 3 hours of desolation. It fluctuates. It fluctuates. But the key of these exercises and the two standards is you have to know what to do and what not to do when you're in desolation. And if you know these rules can help you to avoid, you know, huge pitfalls that could do irreparable damage in your life. Why do a lot of young people commit suicide? They're in desolation. They don't even know what to do. They don't know what to do. They feel that ending their lives is probably the best thing to do. So for adults as well as parents and grandparents who try to learn these rules and teach your children these rules also. Let me give you another general principle, and I'll go through rule 12, 13, and 14. St. John Bosco, one of the greatest teachers, educators in the history of the world. He worked with teenagers, especially the boys. And he had a mortal fear of vacation time. A mortal fear of vacation time. Why? Because idleness is the workshop of the devil. Idleness is the workshop of the devil. If you don't have anything to do, the devil is going to give you a lot to do. So that's another entrance into the lives of people. When there's a lot of free time, the devil seeks out opportunities to suggest, to commit sin. A lot of free times. Take drugs. A lot of free times. Pornography. A lot of free time. The party scene. A lot of free time. Los Cholos. Gang members, huh? A lot of free time. And third is this. If you're wounded, you don't bring your wounds to Christ, then the devil wants to work on your woundedness to get you to fall deeper into sin. So those are three major entries of the devil. State of desolation, a lot of free time and laziness, and our woundedness, that we don't bring our wounds to Christ, who can heal the wounded heart. C.S. Lewis was one of the greatest writers last century. C.S. stands for Clyde Staples, okay? Clyde Staples, C.S. Lewis. He wrote many books. But related to our topic, he wrote a work called Screwtape Letters, in which you have a chief devil, the uncle, who's teaching his younger nephew how to tempt people. The chapters are marvelous. I'd like to give you a summary of one of the chapters of Screwtape Letters. So like the two standards in which Satan is bringing the devils together, Satan brings the devil together with the purpose of discussing among the other devils how they can tempt souls to fall into sin, to make them slaves, and to drag them into hell. So one devil comes up to Satan and says, I got an idea. Why don't we convince the people that heaven doesn't exist? He says, dummy! It's not going to work. People understand in this world that people receive prizes or awards for good conduct. So that devil leaves. Another devil comes and says, why don't we do this? Let's convince the people that hell doesn't exist. Dummy! There are so many jails throughout the world. People know that bad conduct is going to be chastised. Another devil comes and says, Satan, I have a great idea. Get the people, convince the people to put it off for tomorrow. 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 Go to confession tomorrow. I'll do my holy hour later. I'll reconcile with my relative next week. In other words, the devil of procrastination. How often have we fallen into that trap? Probably every week. Okay, rule 12, 13, and 14, related to the two standards. Rule 12. Nietzsche says that the devil acts like a street woman, a woman of the street. And I like to summarize this rule with these words. The devil is weak with the strong, but he's strong with the weak. The devil is weak with the strong, but he's strong with the weak. So once this street woman tries to tempt someone, that individual just rebuffs her, she backs off. But if she sees he starts to vacillate and irresolute, she becomes stronger and wins him over. That's the way the devil works. If we're tempted, and we start to toy with that temptation, we start to think, if I had the opportunity to do that, that would be pretty interesting. And the temptation gets powerful and more powerful and more powerful. And it bowls us over. So the devil, he's strong with the weak, and he's weak with the strong. So as soon as you're aware of a temptation from the enemy, you have to reject that temptation right away. Don't dance with Mr. D. Not even one dance step, huh?
Nope.
Temptation comes, reject it right away. Now, are all temptation sins? No. Once a priest asked him, did you entertain those temptations? He said, no, they entertained me. That's a sin. So being aware of the temptation, remember the acronym that we told you earlier with respect to the rules, the acronym B-U-T. B stands for be aware. U stands for understand. T stands for take action. Be aware. Understand. Take action. You're aware that the devil is tempting you. You understand it comes from the enemy. Then what do? Reject it. And call upon the holy names of Jesus and Mary. That's rule 12. Rule 13. is the devil wants us to keep our desolation and our temptations to ourselves and not to open up to a spiritual director. And what he does is the devil turns a molehill into a mountain. It turns what seemed to be something really insignificant into something that is enormous. If you have a cut on your hand, you didn't tend to the cut. It gets infected. And pus comes out. Then gangrene. Then you have to amputate it. So it is with us. If we do not tend to our wounds, they get worse and worse and worse. So part of the dynamic of the exercise is that all of you have to have some type of spiritual direction. You all have to have some type of spiritual director. Because the devil is very crafty and can sometimes he can camouflage or disguise himself as an angel of light. I'll give an example. About the year 1984, there was a young man, 28 years of age, that was in a seminary. He had finished his philosophy, most of his theology, was about to be ordained a deacon. And it was the summer of 84. And all of a sudden, the young man was just being assaulted by all these temptations against his vocation. So much so he thought, well, he was an American studying in Italy, and he thought, well, maybe I'll just go back to the States. This isn't for me. And the temptation became stronger and stronger until finally he decided that he would go and talk with one of those older, wise Italian priests for many, many years, maybe just run it by the older priest. And he talked with the older priest and said, I'm just feeling a lot of sadness, kind of depression. I've never experienced this before in my life. And he said, get out of your room, no studies, just do hard manual labor, do some sports, get out there in nature walks. And the young man obeyed that priest. And that cloud lifted up. In a couple of months, he was ordained to the diaconate. Then the following year, in 86, he was ordained to the priesthood by John Paul II. And that was me. So I'm not speaking through theory. I know these rules really well. Not simply book knowledge. It's not simply academic. I know what these rules are. And I experienced the power of the devil. But my saving grace is this. If I did not open up to that priest, I wouldn't be here. Probably be next to Yankee Stadium selling hot dogs now. Probably something like that.
Bad point?
But thanks be to God, I'm a Catholic priest now. Because I learned to open up. And the problem is our pride We don't want to open up to tell another one that junk that seems to be going on within our minds and our emotions and our hearts. Let me give you now a pastoral experience. Woman comes to me, just overwhelmed with sad, sorrow, depression, grief, comes into my room, sits down, and she starts, as we say in New York, spill her guts. Let it all out. Pounding the fist, pounding the desk, crying, complaining, getting angry. And there I am, she's going on and on and on. She's raving and ranting, pounding, crying. No more Kleenexes left, no? Goes on for half an hour. And afterward, after a half hour, she gets up and says, "Thank you, Father, for having solved my problem." I didn't even open up my mouth. Nor did I intend to. I knew that she needed just to get it out. Now I was going to be a sounding board. I was going to take her sorrow, grief, take it within my heart and suffer with her. This is painful. Painful. Place it on the altar in the Mass and give it to God. That's part of the dynamic of the exercise. That's part of the dynamic of the two standards. So I apply the two standards every day of my life with myself and with others. Now this woman has never heard the two standards before, but I'm applying the whole dynamic by just listening to her bring forth her desolation so that she can leave alleviated. Not that all of her problems are gone, but half of the problem is resolved by just talking it out with someone else. So that's rule 13. So the devil, when you're in that state, the devil wants you just to keep it to yourself. Clam up. Don't open up. This is too embarrassing. So all of those who are involved in these exercises of St. Ignatius, you have to learn. You have to get a spiritual director. You have to learn how to open up to a spiritual director. Tomorrow morning, I'm driving down to LA to talk with my spiritual director. I direct many, many people, but I have to have my own spiritual director because we all have blind spots. And I've got a lot to tell my spiritual director. A lot. Not little, a lot. I have a lot that's going on within me right now. And I can't talk to anyone. Obviously I can talk to God, but God wants me to go to a human bridge, intermediary, to help me with what I'm going through now. Now if I, who have much more experience than you people in the spiritual life, most likely, have to have a spiritual director, what about you? We all have blind spots. We all have blind spots. Do you really know yourself? You're a mystery unto yourself. You really are. You don't really know yourself. You think you do. Look at yourselves when you brought, start the exercises and look at yourself now. And wait another 3 weeks, you're going to say, wow, I'm no longer the same person. I really did not know who I was. And I really did not know who God was. But unless you're able to talk this out with an individual, we live, kind of live in a cave. Plato's parable of the cave, no, we just see the shadows on the wall, but we don't see the clarity that God wants to give us. Okay, the 14th rule is, I like to call it the kryptonite rule. What does kryptonite mean? It means that we all have our weak point. Hopefully you've learned this weak point by having meditated upon the seven capital sins: gluttony, lust, greed, laziness, anger, envy, pride. Remember those? One of my retreatants said, Father, I've got all of those. So do I, and so do you. But one is more predominant. Also, another way that you can heighten your self-knowledge is by being faithful to your daily examine. Give yourself those 10 minutes. Rewind the film of your life and see where God is present and where you're walking away from God. Okay, the rule of kryptonite. The devil seeks out our weak point. I like to give sports analogies. When I was 13, 14 years old, my passion was to play baseball. And I made it to Pony Major League, that's what it's called on the East Coast. It's after Little League. And I was a pitcher. And I did something that all of the coaches and the adults told me never to do. They said, don't throw the curveball. Why? Because you throw the curveball, you're 13 or 14, you can ruin your arm. I can say, who cares? No. So I practiced the curveball hundreds of times. So to start out the season, my manager chose me to be the opening pitcher. I pitched a no-hitter. No-hitter. No one got on base because I was pitching the curve and it was really on, and I was whiffing them right and left. It was KKK, not the Ku Klux Klan. And the reason why is I knew that these 13, 14-year-old boys, they'd never seen a curveball before, and they couldn't hit my curveball because they never saw it before. So I knew that that was going to be their weakness. The devil is an excellent pitcher. He wants to strike you out. He knows you can hit a fastball. He'll throw you the curve. If he knows you can hit the curve, he'll throw you the slider. If he knows you can hit the slider, he'll throw you a sinker. If he knows you can hit in the inside corner, out and away. Outside corner. So the devil is an excellent pitcher. He wants to strike you out. He wants to lead you into mortal sin so that you fall right in the trap. So kryptonite. You have to know what is your weak point. Self-knowledge is so important. Desert fathers have a two-word axiom: know thyself. Socrates says that a life that is not examined is a life that's not worth living. And the famous historian said that he who does not know history is condemned to repeat the same errors. So, if we're in this battleground in which Satan is trying to trip us up, we have to know the basic ways in which the enemy is going to attack us. I repeat, Satan is out there. He's out there to win us over. He's out there to trap us. He's out there to make us slaves. He's out there, he wants to drag us into hell. That's what he wants. The devil wants to drag especially Catholics into hell. And when does the devil stop working? Until we die. Sometimes the most powerful temptations are when we're on our deathbed. Or we're dying. Therefore, we want to prepare ourselves even now for that moment in which God is going to call us. So what are you going to do? When you're in desolation, you got to know the rules. One of the temptations of the enemy is, when you're in desolation, why pray? You're wasting your time. Pray less. Pray less fervently. The nation rule is, when you're in desolation, pray a little bit more. And how did Jesus conquer the enemy? You saw the film of Mel Gibson in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed all the more fervently. He prayed so fervently that he actually sweat blood. And he conquered the devil. Laziness. We're going to be talking about writing out a plan of life. We can't give in to laziness. Saint Father Alberto Hurtado said, there are two places to rest, the cemetery and heaven. One Saint Peter Canisius, a great Jesuit doctor of the church, was working very hard. And the people said, slow down and rest. And he said, I will have all eternity to rest. In the meantime, I will work for God and for the salvation of souls. If you're wounded, bring the wounds to Christ, because the devil takes advantage of wounded people. Instead of having a small wound, a gaping wound. Next, don't forget. The devil is like that street woman. The devil is weak, with the strong, but strong with the weak. Soon as you have a temptation, reject it. Don't play with fire. Don't dance with Mr. D. You're aware of the temptation, reject it right away. And have the humility and courage when you're going through desolation to open up to a spiritual director. To open up, even though it's embarrassing. How many vocations are lost because young men or women do not know these rules? How many marriages end up in divorce because they don't know these rules? How many suicides are committed because they don't know these rules? How many people give in despair because they don't know these rules? And finally, remember your kryptonite. But we must say this, that the devil tempts us, but God is much stronger than the devil. Our Lady is much stronger than the devil. If God is with us, who can be against us? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we'll take about a 5-6 minute break, and then we'll be back.